Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. This hockey season, you can view over 70 vehicles in their warm showroom. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the airport.
Safe and sound on the ground in Philadelphia is the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, Derek Wills. He joins Pinder and Steinberg live from Finn McCool's here at the Sheraton Eau Claire. And it's a rough stretch. It's not a good run for the Calgary Flames. The general manager, Brad Treliving, had some strong things to say this morning. You've heard that a couple of times today on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It is time for our Daily Flames Roundtable. And guys, Flames haven't had a lead in six straight games. They haven't scored first in eight straight games. They have had they've scored five total goals during this six-game losing skid. It is frustrating. It is hard to watch. Mr. Wills, can you remember a stretch this frustrating in your time with the Calgary Flames?
No. I mean, I think one of the reasons this has been so frustrating is because expectations are so high. Well, we didn't come into this season hoping the Flames would be a Stanley Cup playoff team. We hope came into the season, at least a lot of us did, hoping they could contend for a cup. So when you have high expectations and the team fails to meet them, that's frustrating. I mean, there have been stretches in my six seasons calling Flames games where the team has struggled like this, and even to a greater extent. But those teams weren't as good as this team on paper, and those teams didn't have the same kind of expectations that this team does. So that's why it's been just so incredibly frustrating to watch these guys struggle to find the right game 25 games into the season. I'm not sure they've still played a game where they've been at their best from top to bottom, from start to finish. So that's been frustrating to watch. So for me, no. Yeah, the answer to that question would be they haven't had this tough a stretch in my six seasons doing their games.
What's interesting is that if this was a new group, and you'd say, okay, well, they're just not good enough. It's a bad hockey team, and whatever the mix is, they're going to have to change. And, you know, what do you do to improve it? But the baffling part with this group is that it is so similar to the group that was almost unstoppable in the regular season last year, racking up 50 wins in the West to the point where they rested players at points in the final 2 weeks of the season and had the second highest goal total in the league, tied for the second best record in the NHL through the regular season. It's so hard to wrap your head around this group being so similar to last year's and yet the results being so dissimilar. That's where the frustration comes in. And sure, expectations are part of it, but the expectations are well earned. We watched them march to 50 games last year, even after a just okay start. So why is it so different now? It's the second year with a coaching staff, not the first. It's not any new systems. It's the way they played last year. The same combinations that worked last year suddenly aren't this year. And I think we all expected a little bit of regression from the guys that had career years, but not the swing to the other side of the pendulum where a lot of their core players are having years that might end up being, you know, low water marks of their career, at least if they continue the way they're going.
Well, and Derek, to your point about, you know, the expectations being a big reason why this has been as disappointing as it has been, I'm completely with you. Because I remember a couple of other really bad stretches. I remember the year before you got here, there was a stretch in 13-14 where the Flames could not score. In January, they scored one goal in a span of four games, and they were a pretty bad team that year. The following year, we remember the eight-game losing skid they had prior to that crazy Johnny Gaudreau hat-trick comeback in Los Angeles, and that was turning into a season killer, and that was a pretty frustrating time. But again, the expectations weren't high. Even near the end of Glenn Gullitson's tenure, where things were really poor, it was kind of like, you know, it was near the end of the season, and it had already been frustrating. This is the beginning of the year. It's been a frustrating 25 games, and now there's this six-game losing skid where seemingly everything is going wrong. They cannot score, and we expected them to be one of the highest scoring teams in the NHL and one of the most dangerous teams in the NHL. So I'm with you. I think so much of it is relative to the expectations that we all rightfully had for this team coming into the season.
Yeah, and you know who it's more frustrating for than anybody else? The people inside the manager's offices and coach's offices and inside the dressing room. I mean, they're the ones who put in the work during the offseason to build this team, to put a system in place, to put themselves in a spot physically and mentally to be at their best this season. And quite frankly, I didn't expect a lot of regression for the team as a whole or for most individuals on it. I know a lot of guys had career years last year, but outside of Mark Giordano, most of them are in the prime of their career. And you expect them to continue to get better as they're in their mid-20s. So it's been really surprising. Now, with that said, have they been good? No, certainly not on a consistent basis, and certainly not good enough to be considered a Stanley Cup contender at this point. But I also don't think they've really been this bad. I mean, no goals on 111 shots in their last three road games. You could put an AHL team on the ice for three straight games. I guarantee they'd probably score some goals. It's just completely crazy what has happened with this team. They've not played their best hockey, but I also think they've had a lot of bad luck along the way. So sooner or later, one or both of those things is going to change.
Derek Wills with us from Philadelphia as the Flames get set to take on the Flyers tomorrow morning, game two of this four-game road trip. It's Wills, Ryan Pinder, and Pat Steinberg on our daily Flames round table. We know that Calgary's top players aren't getting the job done right now. We know that that's been a struggle for them. Anything that this coaching staff can do, Derek, to change that and try to get more out of this top group of players right now?
Well, I mean, there are some little things. For example, watching warm-up last night, and this isn't just for the top players, this is for all the players, that the management group and the coaching staff, and I guess the players too, they've been brainstorming about ways that how can we have some more fun? Because everything you do in life, it's easier to do it if you're having fun doing it. So one of the things they came up with was they went to the players before last night's game and said, you guys don't want to wear your helmets during warm-up. That's something you think would help you have a little bit of fun, then that we're fine with that. So they changed that team rule. It was no longer mandatory for guys to wear helmets during warm-up. So the coaches, I mean, they're really digging deep here. They're trying to come up with small ideas, medium-sized ideas, and big ideas to help get these guys going and to try to help them have some fun. So are there things the coaches can do? Yes. I think they've already tried a lot of different things. Some of them have worked. Some of them haven't. But they continue to try to come up with new ways to get these guys going. But ultimately, fellas, I think it's up to the players. The coaches aren't on the ice. The managers aren't on the ice. And as much as I respect Brad Treliving for falling on the sword today, ultimately, it's up to the players to go out there and perform. And some of them have and some of them haven't. And they have to start to hold themselves and each other more accountable. And I think that's kind of the messaging that we've received from everybody from associate coach Jeff Ward to Captain Mark Giordano over the last few days. So we'll see after a closed-door meeting, a team-only meeting after last night's game against the Blues, and then a meeting that included the general manager and the head coach and all the players today, if these guys finally get on the same page.
The only thing I'll say, like, you're right, they've tried a lot of different small things, but there's a big one that we've been clamoring for about a year. And for one game in wind at -5 in a football stadium, and for one game indoors, they tried Elias Lindholm at center. That's it. I feel like that could be a solution. It is not necessarily a slam dunk, and there's no guarantee that that is something that all of a sudden changes things, but I really am stunned that Bill Peters, amidst all the dramatic swapping, changing, line blending, and switching of centers here and there, that we haven't seen Elias Lindholm at center more. And I don't know why that is, and there might be a great reason for it, but, I mean, maybe, Derek, you can speak to this. You're in the scrums on the road here. Why in the world has there only been one indoor game with Elias Lindholm at center ice?
I don't know the answer to that question. It's a good question, and I think it's a fair question, and I do think that there is the potential that that could work. But here's how I'll rebut. Is moving Elias Lindholm to center going to make Johnny Gaudreau play better or Matthew Tkachuk play better or Mark Giordano play better? For me, guys, this starts with guys individually. Guys have to be better doing whatever it is they do, whether it's scoring goals or producing points or being a shutdown guy. Whatever it is you do, you've got to be better individually. And if everybody's a little bit better on this team, collectively they're going to start winning hockey games. So is that a change that to potentially help the Flames as a group? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. I do think they're a little weak on the right side, and he's their best right winger, so you take him off right wing, and now you're weaker at that spot, maybe a little stronger down the middle. So I'm almost at a loss at this point in time.
These guys
are trying new things. Like I said, some are working, some are not working, but ultimately more things aren't working than are working at this point. So something's got to give here.
The only thing that I would say, and it's less about, the one thing that I would like to see is less about the actual move itself and more about the amount of time any given change might be given to actually see if it works. As we've seen, Derek, you know as well as anybody, we've seen a lot of different line juggling, and they broke Gaudreau and Monahan up for a couple of games. You know, we just talked about Lindholm, etc., whatever the case may be, and it's gone that way for a game or two periods or a game and a half, but it's never really been given a long period of time to see exactly what you have. It's always gone back to the old familiar. So that would be the only thing that I would add, is that if at some point the coaching staff does think about changing things again, I'd just like to see it for more than a game or two. That would be really interesting to see if they gave it six or seven games before reverting back to what we're more familiar with.
Yeah, I think the only issue, guys, is that you've got to work with what you've got. And right now, the Flames have four guys who are centermen. So Sean Monahan, Michael Backlund, Derek Ryan, and Mark Jankowski. What they lack is depth on right wing for sure, and I think to a lesser extent on left wing. So I think it's more about having four guys who are centermen and have been for their whole careers, and then having to try to put guys on their flanks. I think if the Flames were short of centermen, it would be a lot easier to move Elias Lindholm to the middle of the ice. But because they're not short centermen,
right,
I think that's probably the big reason why he stayed on right wing for most of the season.
I just don't really have much more time for Mark Jankowski. He's going to have to start impacting games in a positive way. And if he has to be in the rafters to accommodate something that helps the rest of the team, I have no problem with that whatsoever. He's done an incredible job of not impacting hockey games in a positive way in what should be the prime of his career. I'm not concerned about a guy that's probably the fifth best center on this roster if you move Lindholm to the middle. I'm just not.
Yeah. It's interesting. The Flames and Flyers play tomorrow. We saw, if you go to Derek's Twitter, you can see what the lines looked like at practice and the power play, and it's looked at practice today. Flames and Flyers, note the start time, 11 a.m. Calgary time tomorrow. As we wrap up on our daily Flames roundtable, Wilsey's with us from Philly, Pat Steinberg and Ryan Pinder back here in Calgary. The last time, Derek, we saw Philadelphia roll through Calgary, they did not look very good. That was not a very good performance from the road team at all. I was like, geez, it's going to be a rough year for the Flyers. They've been a whole lot better of late. Impressive win over Carolina a couple nights ago. How stiff a challenge do the Flyers present for Calgary when they roll in there tomorrow afternoon?
Well, I mean, every single one of the other 30 NHL teams presents a stiff challenge for the Flames right now, let's be honest. I mean, they've just got to find a way to win a hockey game. I don't care who they're playing against. You know, it would have been great if they could have done it against the defending Stanley Cup champion Blues last night, but that wasn't in the cards, so now you try to do it against the Flyers, and it is going to be a challenge. The Flyers haven't been very good on the road this season. They've been really good at Wells Fargo Center, so them playing at home, I think, does give them that advantage. But you know, as far as the Flames are concerned, you got to try to put some pucks past Carter Hart, assuming he gets the start, and he's been a big part of their success. Goaltending has been such a huge question mark in Philadelphia for such a long time. The fact that the Flyers now have a guy who appears to be their goaltender of the present and of the future, I think just it makes things so much easier as far as building this hockey team is concerned. Like some of the pieces in the back end, Ivan Provorov is a terrific young player. Up front, they've got some good older guys, of course, Claude Giroux and company, but you know, young players like Travis Konecny who have become really impactful pretty early in their careers. So it's going to be a challenge for the Flames, but like I said, it doesn't matter who they're playing right now.
Yeah.
Every team is a challenge for this group. They've got to get over their own issues before they start worrying about what their opponent is or does. I mean, for me, it's all about the Flames. And maybe the fact that it's a 1 o'clock game here in Philadelphia will help them. Less time to kind of think about all the bad stuff that's been going on and just go to the rink and play a hockey game and try to have some fun.
Flyers have been wildly inconsistent this year. They open the season with two wins. They lose four in a row. They follow that with three straight wins. They have another four-game winning streak followed by a four-game losing streak. I don't know what to make of this group. I will say this, though. I won't be surprised if we get to extra time tomorrow. Seven of the last 11 games the Flyers have played have gone beyond regulation. They have loved overtime, especially in the month of November.
You know what that means, Derek? That means Ryan has a bet on this game going to overtime
Not yet,
tomorrow.
But I will be making one before 11 a.m. Mountain.
I like it. I like it. You know what, guys? As long as it's not 0-0 going to overtime, I'll be happy. If we get to overtime, it probably means the Flames have scored at least one goal in a road game, which would be the first road game in four road games they've scored a goal in. So you know, if they get one tomorrow, I think they'll probably get a bunch. So let's hope they get one and get the first one, and then the floodgates open for them.
Yeah, I think the Flyers are a good team. This is not what you would call a walkover game. This is not an easy mark for the Flames. But at this point, I think you're right. It doesn't really matter who the opposition is. You got to go in. You got to just find a way, some way, somehow, to get a win and see if you can start building on that. We'll see if the Flames can do that on Saturday morning. All right, Derek, enjoy your night in the city of brotherly love. We will talk to you bright and early tomorrow.
Okay, guys. Have a good night.